In the name of the one true living God, our Creator, Provider, and Savior. Brothers and sisters, in the 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus boldly stated that Peter's confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is both the foundation of his church and the keys of his kingdom of heaven. He said to Peter, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Let us notice here the mention of the gates of hell on the one hand, and the keys of the kingdom of heaven on the other. Hell is not only identified with Satan's presence and authority, but also with unbelief. Heaven, on the other hand, is identified with Christ's presence and his enthronement. Clearly, the two places, or rather spheres, are in conflict. The conflict is between Satan and the Christ, the Son of the living God, and it is over the building of Jesus' church. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' church is composed of people who belong to him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is not a physical or material structure. Let us remember that Jesus came into the world as the new Adam, with the mission of saving humanity. He came on a mission to deliver. He came to deliver his people from the hold of his arch enemy, Satan. Completing this mission required of Jesus to be the Messiah Christ. He came to the world to reverse the corrupting and destructive impact of Satan on mankind. God's special creature, mankind, is God's only creature that enjoys the Creator's image and likeness, endowed with an immortal soul given directly by the active divine breath. Satan tempted and succeeded in separating the first Adam from God, the God who is gracious and holy. Satan managed to cause first Adam, the federal father of our human race, to rebel against God. Thus, Satan caused not only his separation from the Creator, but also an enmity between the Creator and mankind, God's special creature. Mankind alone was created in God's image and likeness. Man was meant to have intimate fellowship with his Creator, but became his enemy. Satan managed to challenge Almighty God into a duel over the control and ownership of humanity. The divine saving process began immediately to deliver humanity from corruption and eternal separation from God. Still, Satan continued to do his best to hinder its success. He vehemently held his human captives closely and continues to do so, claiming them as his own. Brothers and sisters, our federal father, Adam, was forewarned that rebellion would cause separation from his holy Creator. This separation, indeed meant for Adam and his descendants, disconnection from their source of life, leading to physical death and an isolation which would eternally torment their souls. The divine saving plan had to consistently reflect the sovereign Creator's holy and just nature, as well as his merciful and gracious self-giving love. Salvation for fallen humanity could not be merely decreed or dictated. It had to meet the just and holy nature of the Creator. It had to consistently meet the demands of his justice. This could not be accomplished by any human effort. Divine justice required death for the guilty party, while divine mercy offered self-giving love. Consistently combining the two could not be accomplished except through a divine initiative, a divine intervention. This is exactly the meaning of Peter's confession about Jesus as the Son of the living God. Jesus came to earth, adding to his divine nature our human nature, so as the Christ Jesus enjoys both divine and human natures. The announcement that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, reflected exactly the fact that he came to accomplish the divine initiative, bringing together divine justice and divine mercy. This had to include meeting the demand of divine justice, that is, the death of the guilty party. As the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus accepted to take on himself that punishment in place of his condemned people. In this way, he legally and in fulfillment of divine justice accomplished their redemption. He now holds the key to their deliverance and liberation from Satan's hold behind the gates of hell. Brothers and sisters, by becoming human, living a perfectly sinless life, carrying out a holistic ministry, along with his sufferings, death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus accomplished his redemptive work on earth. He indeed completed his work as the Christ, the Son of the living God. He could declare his rightful ownership of his redeemed people. He declared that he enjoys full authority in heaven and on earth to gather them from all nations, all families of the earth, as his own. As the new Adam, he has established the foundation for building his own new Adamic race. This race is his spiritual body on earth, his church. He holds the keys of the kingdom of heaven. These are the same tools used to challenge and force open the gates of hell to free his people from the hold of Satan, his arch enemy. The same keys also open heaven for their entrance. These keys are nothing but the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. This gospel is given to the church by Christ himself through the apostles, who on the great day of Pentecost commenced the gathering of his holy body, the church, from every tongue, tribe, race, and people. Brothers and sisters, enthroned at the right hand of majesty in heaven, with full authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus continues his work as the Christ, the Son of the living God. He rules and overrules with his gentle and gracious mighty hands all things and directs them to the good of his loving ones, his redeemed, from all nations on earth. He continues to be their surety, their mediator, the founder and completer of their saving faith. In the meantime, the evil one attempts and fails again and again to hinder the progress of the kingdom of grace, truth, and justice, the kingdom of the Christ, the Son of the living God. From his heavenly throne, with his full sovereignty, Jesus guides the use of the keys of his kingdom through the power of his Spirit to complete the gathering of his redeemed. Hallelujah! The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with God's people in all nations, at all times, throughout the whole earth, by the blessed message of the gospel. Amen.